We're open for business life.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 19th of February, 2016. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. The show will be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website too. In today's programme, we're talking with Hendrika Stevens of the Monocle Magpie Community Interest Company, a social enterprise which supports the development of the Sheffield Antiques Quarter. And we're also talking with Karen Newell of Toy Like Me, celebrating disability in toys and celebrating after hitting their target on a new crowdfunding campaign, which closed yesterday. Now, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Jerome Jacob of Fruity and Mo Ali of Aidworks, you can catch the podcast on the Sheffield Live website. Go to shows, find Business Live, and you'll find the podcast from last Friday's show. You'll also find on the Sheffield Live website a wealth of great music and other programmes, from rock to reggae to folk to UKG and much, much more. Check it out. You might discover some exciting new music. So before we turn to our guests, Sheffield Business Region must quickly come to a collective agreement on the location for the Sheffield HS2 station, according to speakers at a major summit in Sheffield this week, which was organised by the Sheffield Chamber of Commerce. And the event, Getting the Right Location for the Sheffield City Region HS2 Station, heard from speakers including Henk Bouwman, who's currently working with the Independent Transport Commission, alongside Gerald Jennings, President of Leeds Chamber of Commerce, and Richard Wright of Sheffield Chamber, who's their executive director. More than 200 guests were present in Sheffield City Hall to see the debate on whether the HS2 station should be in the city centre at Victoria or at Meadow Hall. And Richard Wright commented that HS2 is going to have enormous implications for the future economy of the region and that we have to get behind the right decision. He says, while we're bickering, the final decision is going to be made later this year. We can't afford to end up with the wrong location. And Edward Highfield, who's a director of Creative Sheffield, told the summit that HS2 is a once-in-a-generation investment. He says it's not a silver bullet and neither is it a magic pill, but it will be a catalyst. He said it's inconceivable that Leeds or Manchester would accept a station with low impact and Sheffield shouldn't. Sheffield needs to punch its weight to bring benefit to the whole city region. Now, what do you think on the location of HS2? You're welcome to get in touch with this programme if you have views, if you want to air them, if you want to recommend someone to talk about this, or if you want to recommend yourself. You can contact me, Jamie, at sheffieldlive.org. Text 07904 272 200. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter or find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter too. And of course, whether you run or you're starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer, whether you're self-employed, whether you work for a business or a social enterprise, we're always keen to hear from you. Now, quick heads up for forthcoming event next Thursday. Rotherham Hospice are running the next of their business breakfast events, and it's called Tour a Global Leader in Steel and Get the Latest from HR Law Expert. That HR Law Expert is Jay Bayani. She's been a guest on this programme. And at the free event, which is taking place next Thursday the 25th at Outokumpu Stainless Distribution, people will be able to pick Jay Bayani's brains on the latest changes in HR and employment law, but also take a tour behind the scenes at Outokumpu. Now, I've just Googled to check this, so you can find the event very easily on Eventbrite by just Googling Business Breakfast Tour, a Global Leader in Steel, and you'll find the place to register and get tickets, which are free. Now, just a quick reminder, whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer, whether you're self-employed, whether you work in a business or a social enterprise, you want to air your views, then get in touch with this programme. Find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter. Send a text, 07904 272 200, or drop us an email, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Now, time now to turn to our first guest of today, and I'm delighted to welcome to the studio Hendrika Stevens. Hendrika, good morning.
Good morning.
And thanks for coming in today. How are you?
Very good, and it's a beautiful day in Sheffield, so lovely.
It certainly is, isn't it? Stunning. Sunny, cold and crisp, and a lovely day to walk down to the Sheffield Live studio. So thanks for coming in today, and you've recently published a lovely article about independent Sheffield that was carried in the Sheffield Star, mentioning Sheffield Live kindly, and Now Then magazine and lots of other independents too, and talking about your views on independence. And of course the Sheffield Antiques Quarter is packed with independent businesses as well, and going from strength to strength, as it seems to me, looking in. But from your point of view, what's the history here? How have you got to where you are now?
Well, we came together as a group of businesses about 4 years ago. Initially, we're 21 businesses, a cluster of vintage antique centres and like-minded sort of core businesses. And basically, we worked together as a community group to promote what we saw as quite a significant cluster of businesses in that part of the city on the south side. Since coming together, we've now got 60 businesses. So we've seen a lot of new businesses coming to the area, taking up sort of empty shop units. The core themes are sort of vintage, retro, arts, antiques, salvage. And obviously we've got lots of new cafes and bars as well. So it's a really vibrant little area. So working together as a community group, we just sort of wanted to let Sheffield know that the area was interesting, and to sort of build on the strengths that had sort of... And the area has a history of antiques as well. So it was sort of building on that. But what we sort of found is that we got more and more sort of traders taking up the empty shop units, and the development sort of seemed to sort of cascade and become quite significant, really.
Indeed. So a catalyst. And this is really, really... achieving a number of objectives in terms of not only letting people know about businesses and the independent businesses there, but actually bringing vacant units back into use.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that area of the city definitely is in need of sort of regeneration, and was looking pretty sort of scruffy, and it still is to a certain extent, although there's lots of things that we're now doing to try and sort of combat that. And I think the biggest thing is that the businesses have worked in partnership, and so we've worked with community groups, obviously we've worked with the council, but the most important thing is being the businesses working together. So when somebody takes an empty shop unit, they find that they've got lots of support, and especially for small sort of little... retailers that are just starting up, they need to sort of build that confidence, and having others around them who are all sort of going in the same direction is quite important.
Yes, so those little retailers that are brand new, they can learn from their peers, but also they can access other support that you've been able to broker.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest thing that we've sort of achieved without really intending it is that we've created a real destination for in the city. So something new, something that wasn't planned as part of the citywide plan or anything like that, something that really came from itself. And obviously Sheffield is full of wonderful quarters. But I guess what we feel we've done is create something really independent and local that's come from itself. And it's a vision for the whole area.
Yes. And I suppose in jargonistic terms, you might call it a sort of bottom up solution rather than a top-down solution that's come from government or from local government. No, this has come from the community. This is grassroots.
Absolutely.
This is traders. This is independent, and this is community-led.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what gives it its strength, really, because we've had to work quite hard. We've worked on pretty small budgets, really. We've had no sort of significant funding that's been put into to bring that together. So it's been people committing their own time and working at little, you know, things like even the development of our logo and the way that we sort of have marketed ourselves. It's been very much about everybody pulling in and working together. And I think you build a stronger foundation in the long run for future development.
Yes, you do, because everyone's involved then in this and involved in the decision making and the the plans for forward activity as well, presumably?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, of course, that has its drawbacks in that you have lots of people coming together with lots of fantastic ideas. All these businesses are sort of local and independent and they like that they run their businesses themselves. And, of course, they have a very clear idea of how they want to do it. So when you bring everybody together, you get a huge number of ideas, and sometimes that can actually make it quite a complicated process. But we've sort of battled our way through and come up with some really good solutions.
Yes. I mean, that must be challenging from time to time. And you said, is it 28 retailers?
We initially started with 21.
That was
sort of the core antique centres that were there, and some sort of hardcore businesses that remained from a bit of a culling of businesses in the sort of 80s and 90s.
Yes.
So when there was a downturn in the antiques trade, so I think there were 40 businesses originally, who usually just sold to trade, so shipping out to Europe. But there was just a cluster of those businesses left.
I see. And then now, what sort of numbers are we talking about?
So now we have about 60 businesses,
yeah,
but
so
within the antique centres themselves, you can find between 15 and 50 traders within each centre.
Each centre,
so
yes.
You're talking about another 200 to 250 individual traders, yeah, all specialising in whether it's silverware or vintage clothing.
And so, as you said, that can lead to challenges if everyone has their own very specific ideas. But you've been able to unite and to unite the sort of people's wishes and unify, at the very least, wishes, so that you're working together. Now, how do you do that? Because it with so many people involved in this process, as you say, there could be potential for arguments, but it sounds like it's very cohesive.
It is. I think the biggest challenge has been working as a group and bringing those businesses together initially. But also it's been quite a hard economic environment, and it still remains to be. So when you've got small new businesses starting up, they are facing so many challenges just to keep their heads above water, which is why I guess Sheffield's pretty good, because we do support small businesses. I think the businesses haven't seen themselves as competition as well, which has been quite important, because actually they could just see that they're competing with each other, where actually what they see is a greater vision. Drawing more people to the area, creating a real destination, means we're increasing the footfall, which means there's more business for everyone. But of course, you know, people are still strapped for cash, so I think the businesses are still hanging on in there,
yes,
at the moment.
But it does absolutely, as you say, create a destination, and lots of businesses of a similar type in the same area is brilliant destination marketing as well. Now, are you able to measure footfall and how footfall has changed over the last 4 years of the quarter? Is that something that you're able to do? And it obviously it's far easier for a shopping centre to count people in and out of a shopping centre rather than a quarter like this. But you know, do you have an idea of how that's going?
I think that the increase in footfall has been pretty significant, and the businesses say that. That doesn't necessarily mean that the spending comes with it. So,
no.
And by putting the quarter on the map, this is in terms of marketing, one thing has been that once people know about the Antiques Quarter, they either love it or they don't. It's either your kind of thing, you like to buy sort of recycled, or antiques, or it's not your thing. So it's not about reinforcing the messages constantly. It's about just sort of raising awareness. I think the businesses substantially would all say that the footfall's increased significantly.
Yes.
But this last year, spending-wise, I think the businesses are still struggling to get people spending, and I think that's to do with the economic climate, really.
Indeed. And whilst we hear some stats regarding recovery, a lot of small businesses tell us that things remain very challenging. That sounds like it's the case for the experiences of many people in the quarter, like many businesses across Sheffield as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've not really, like, as I said, we haven't had sort of a lot of funding that's been put in, and also we weren't part of that citywide plan, so it isn't something that's getting a constant sort of, you know, support perhaps from the council in the way that sort of other development is. We've done things to try and sort of help the sort of footfall and really put it on the map. So, for example, we did crowdfunding just over a year ago to sign the quarter because at the moment, because the area is very large. So if you walked around, it could take you a good hour. That's yes. without going into every single shop. So we did get support from the council as an in-kind donation to put brown signage in. So we have that at the four sort of entrance points of the quarter, which is quite a large area. That's something that we're looking for more support with, a second stage. Really, to have brown signage within the city, so it reinforces to the city that that the quarter is there, as well as sort of helping visitors to the city find their way. I think there's a lot more that we could be doing to market the quarter, and certainly that Sheffield could be doing to sort of market itself. And I touched on that in the article that I wrote.
Yes,
that I feel
right.
as though Sheffield hasn't done an incredible job of marketing itself, and if you look at Welcome to Yorkshire, and that the kind of exposure of Sheffield through that, you don't necessarily feel that Sheffield has got as much to offer as it does have. I think
which can be frustrating for us all when we know what it does have to offer. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think things like looking at the train station when people arrive, that's a really good point at which to say, hey, this is what Sheffield's about, and have some really interesting sort of information there that's more pushed by Sheffield instead of the companies that sort of have these sort of boxes with leaflets in. I think there's more we could do for sure.
Great stuff. Well, you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, and our guest in the studio at the moment is Hendrika Stevens, and Hendrika's talking about the development of the Sheffield Antiques Quarter. Now, Hendrika, we're going to continue talking in a moment, but I thought we'd just take a break for a quick track of music. Now, this is a track that you have chosen. It's Kate Rusby. It's Our Town, and we'll play it now. This is Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. That was Kate Rusby, a lovely track of music chosen by our studio guest, Hendrika Stevens. Hendrika, great choice.
Thank you. It's a great song.
Indeed. So we're talking about the Sheffield Antiques Quarter and your development over the last 4 years. And you mentioned crowdfunding for the signs for the quarter and a successful campaign to raise the money to do that. And I wondered if you had any tips for people who are thinking of running crowdfunding campaigns. You use a platform called Spacehive.
We use Spacehive, and we raised a total of under £17,000, and that was to sign the quarter. So that was for brown signage, banners in various places, local artwork and murals that we were hoping would sort of glue the quarter together and make it a more visually exciting. I think... So much as sort of social media is a really important thing. I mean, the Antiques Quarter have got a really good base of businesses, and through that the traders, and through that all the people that they know, and also the people who sort of shop in the area also, feel very, once they get attached to it, and they feel, quite sort of excited about being part of it. So, and of course the community as well. So it's about forging all those kind of links and working as hard, I guess, and using social media, and Facebook's been a really big one for us.
Yes.
But a lot of hard work. I mean, obviously we wrote a lot of articles as well. We did a really quite appalling little video, but it was still, it was a little bit bizarre, but it was very important again because it showed the area. We'd never done that before. We did it ourselves, and so it was a bit unprofessional, but it was quite funny.
Well, that's the thing though, then, because that people can relate to that, can't they?
We added some sort of interesting music and showed lots of images of the area. It wasn't a professional thing, but it was fun, and people sort of engaged with that. So I guess using different ways to attract people and interest people. I know there's all sorts of other ways that you can do that, because obviously you can offer people certain benefits that they will get.
Yes.
And we didn't really do that. It was more about being part of the whole picture, really, and exciting people with the different elements of what the crowdfunding would cover.
Yes, and Spacehive is a platform that lends itself to community-led projects as well, and making something good happen in a community as well. So,
yeah.
Great stuff.
Well, for us, it has been a vision that has involved the whole area. So, yes, of course, it's about the businesses making more money and increasing footfall, but it's been as well about engaging with the community. And one of our plans for this year, obviously, we started with our core businesses, and that's grown, and that's taken a huge amount of sort of attention for us. But we now want to engage with every single business that's within the quarter area, because when we're lobbying with the council to sort of get positive change for the area, that's good for everyone. And also to sort of encourage businesses to help each other with perhaps discounts for the Antiques Quarter members, so ways that they can support each other. So to encourage everybody to be buying local and using the local services within the quarter.
Yes, quite. So that's collaborative, and that's bringing in more new businesses businesses who exist in the quarter area but haven't been part of the quarter to date. So getting their involvement and their engagement, and they'll benefit from being part of this as well. And
absolutely, And all the businesses in the area do know about the quarter, and of course they've seen the signs go up, and now it's about how we bring those together. And that includes obviously the community. So we're working with schools on various different projects and encouraging them to get involved in our artwork and mural projects, which again was part of the crowdfunding.
Yes, so those then will come to fruition then over the next year.
Yeah, we've started quite a few, so I think people might have noticed there's a beautiful Joe Peel mural, a new one at Hagler's Corner, and that's about the Antiques Quarter. We've also got a lovely peacock that's on the sort of junction with Sheldon Road and Aberdale, and we just had a project go up. So an artist called Lucy Bullen, who did some beautiful sort of 1950s sort of style design. It's to do with an anti-pollution sort of project. So the local councillors, Ward Pot, we made an application. And so that's reinforcing walking around the quarter, and that's really fun. So we've got some really beautiful images that have gone up on four different buildings yesterday. And we use Broadfield Signs, so one of the local shops within the area as well, using local services. So
really exciting to see those go up.
Absolutely, yeah. But also it's just been amazing how we've not been, with the crowdfunding money, we haven't had enough to really pay artists, so getting them on board has just been absolutely fantastic. And of course, artists will always come out and go, yes, go on, I'll do it then. And we've got Fornographic as well, Sarah Eco, who is doing a really beautiful mural that's going to go on the side of the Sheffield Antiques Centre. So there's tons of little projects that are sort of planned, and as I said, we want to engage with schools, because to encourage the schools to be hunting the area for interesting artwork and features, and really walking around is quite a positive thing as well.
It's plenty planned for 2016 then.
Yeah, tons.
Absolutely, great. And so if you could wave a magic wand to secure a wish list, if you like, for external assistance. I mean, we've talked about Sheffield hiding its charms or its lights, or not marketing itself as well as it could be. Mm. And you talked about that in your recent article as well, and you talked about that before the music break. What would you wish for if you could ask for some assistance from external agencies, local government or national government, in terms of helping independent retailers and quarters like the Sheffield Antiques Quarter? What would be the biggest things that you'd want?
I think for the Antiques Quarter, we are looking for the council to continue the support that they've given us. So obviously, big cuts and everything in the council have made it very hard to get constant sort of support, but the plan is to put a steering group together that will support the development of the quarter, which means we bring all the right partners together within the council. So for us, that's absolutely essential, really, to help us push our strategy forward. We've got, like I said, the sort of area is still in need of regeneration, really. So the kind of support that would help us make the area even more sort of, you know, polish it up a little bit, really, would be pretty vital. For us again, the development of the murals and artwork projects, the crowdfunding money is sort of running out, but there's plenty of other things we would like to do. So we'd certainly like to look at how we might, you know, perhaps apply to the Arts Council for projects. And that's been one of the things. We haven't got a specific bid writer who is giving us support, so we need to explore that more. And again, we've fumbled our way in certain ways as a community group. So sort of more expertise. And we have to, within with the social enterprise, so the Monocle Magpie, we have sort of dipped into what Sheffield's got to offer in terms of supporting social enterprises, and that's been absolutely invaluable, from advice to sort of practical support about social media and marketing and those kind of things.
Great. So that support has been helpful, but it's really great that it is there for you and for social enterprises as well. And it's vital, really, for small businesses and social enterprises to have that support available.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also in terms of sort of the area, so things like the small business rate relief and those kind of things that alleviate sort of those early issues for businesses whilst they're trying to find their feet, that's absolutely essential. And there's lots of partners within the city who can sort of offer us more support. But lobbying for support for small business is absolutely vital. And, we don't want to see any massive changes within the quarter at the moment because people are still just hanging on in there. And if we find sort of that rate relief disappears, that would be pretty tragic for the area and certainly would slow down the development that we've seen so far.
Yes, I understand. OK. So I think we have only a few minutes left. So clearly, within the last 4 years, Sheffield Antiques Quarter has achieved an enormous amount. What are you most proud of?
I think the fact that we've actually created a destination for the city and that we've done that ourselves, that it's a vision for the entire area, and we haven't lost our focus, that we've worked in collaboration with each other. It's about friendliness and support, and it's created a great area. So there's lots of things. The feel of the area that you get there, it's unique, it's diverse, but it's also a little bit gritty. That the businesses have been a sounding board for each other. I mean, it's never-ending, but I think mostly it's to do with collaboration and how that works for everybody's benefit.
Well, there's a lesson there in terms of collaboration and a lesson for all businesses and social enterprises as well. Collaboration and strength in numbers as well and working together to support one another. So fantastic achievements over the last 4 years, Hendrika. Thank you very much for talking about them. And, of course, you're also involved in other projects as well from time to time and supporting other people. You mentioned Venture Matrix as well.
We've got time for that.
It's
a very exciting sort of link, really. So Venture Matrix at Hallam University are working on live projects, and for us it's always about the people and getting real views about things. So we're working on about 6 different projects with Venture Matrix to include looking at antisocial behaviour, looking at art and all sorts of interesting things. So,
superb. Great. Good stuff. Well, you have to come back on the programme and talk about progress again in a few weeks, few months' time. But in the meantime, Hendrika Stevens, thanks very much for joining us on the programme today. And all the best, of course, with the ongoing development of the Sheffield Antiques Quarter. And we'll play a track of music again, a track you've chosen, which is Richard Hawley, and it's The Ocean. Thank you, Hendrika.
Thank you very much.
This is Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. That was Richard Hawley and The Ocean, chosen by our last guest, Hendrika Stevens. Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Karen Newell of Toy Like Me. Karen, good morning.
Hi, Jamie.
So thanks for coming on the programme today. And it's a day of celebration for you because you've been crowdfunding for Toy Like Me and you smashed your target yesterday, I understand.
We smashed it good and proper, didn't we? We really didn't expect to. We were just so thrilled that people felt compelled to give. People were so generous. Over almost 700 people donated, and it wasn't just for the money, it was just the comments that they sent along with their money.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm going to ask you in a moment about how you think that you did that, because, as you say, absolutely fantastic to get so much support from several hundred people. But first of all, just tell us a little bit about Toy Like Me.
Well, Toy Like Me started in April when myself and my friend Rebecca was looking at our children's toy boxes and realising there's not much representation in there. I have a son, Fred, who's got a visual impairment and hopefully will have a guide dog in the future. And we just noticed that there was nothing to represent any real disability in our toy box. So we set about trying to change that. And just to call out, really, to the major toy manufacturers, what are you doing for disabled children out there? There are 150 million worldwide.
Yes, 150 million disabled children across the world. Toy manufacturers weren't doing anything. and as you say, in the toy boxes themselves are not representative. So you want to celebrate disability in toys and advise parents and carers as well looking for representative toys, is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't want to do it in a sort of a hospitally medical way.
No.
We wanted to have fun. So we started to make over some toys. We give Tinkerbell a cochlear implant. We give Santa guide huskies so he can, you know, deliver presents around the country with his guide huskies. We just wanted to say it doesn't have to be the way it is. And you can have fun and represent disabled children throughout the world. Because, you know, it's important that we live in an inclusive society.
Yes, quite. And you've already received extensive worldwide media coverage, you know, even in the short amount of time since you you set up Toy Like Me.
Yeah, we have. We've been astounded. It just goes to show that it touches everybody's hearts. And that's why the toy manufacturers really need to set up and go, hey, we've got something to do here. I mean, we've been really pleased. Playmobil have been the first major toy manufacturer to come to us and go, yeah, you're right. So we're working with them to bring out a couple of characters with disabilities, hopefully in the summer. So we've been really pleased that they've been listening to us, and it's such a well-loved and fantastic brand is Playmobil, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes. It's hugely well-known across the world and as you say, well-played with and well-loved. And getting that kind of brand on board and behind you and supporting you must be vital, but also so interesting to see how you've worked with a company here in the UK who use 3D printing to make bespoke dolls.
Yeah, Mackie Dolls were the first sort of independent to come along, and we sort of sought them out, and they said, we can do this, we can show the larger manufacturers what they can be doing. And because they're 3D printed, they didn't have to have the sort of long lead-in time and manufacturing processes. So the 3D dolls that were created really caused a stir, and they're just beautiful, aren't they?
Yes.
They really showed the big companies what they could be doing.
Yes, they do. They do, and they demonstrate to big companies what they could and can do. And now you have followers across the world, 45 countries, 30,000 followers, with more joining every week. But also celebrities and well-known names and well-known children's author Julia Donaldson of Gruffalo fame behind you.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, Julia has a hearing impairment herself, so I think she really, really, it really responded with her, and she thought it was a very good campaign to be involved in. We're really thankful for the celebrity support. It really helps spread the social media, because all we have is a Facebook site at the moment.
Yes, and this was, of course, a big reason for the crowdfunding campaign, I understand.
It is. I mean, we're contacted from all of those 45 different countries every day. Parents saying, where can I find a doll like this, a teddy bear with a feeding tube? And we've been searching the internet and popping links onto our Facebook site. There's a lot of independent sort of kitchen table industries doing some bespoke dolls too. So we want that to be out there for everybody to see. And we want there to be a cracking sort of online resource where parents, teachers, educators can go on and find what they're looking for, and then we'll really see what the emissions are, really. So we want it to be a resource for everybody, full of advice, support, fun, and importantly where you can buy the toys that maybe help your child.
Yes, absolutely. So this is going to be a really useful resource for everyone, for parents, and takes Toy Like Me to the next stage. At the moment, people can find you on Twitter, they can find you on Facebook, but the website takes you to the next level.
It does. We want it to be interactive. We want it to be accessible. We do want major toy companies to come on board and sponsor us and talk with us. And so there is a connection between the community, the toy manufacturers, and the toys themselves.
Yes, great stuff. Okay. Now, as well as the website, you mentioned Playmobil earlier when we were talking, and getting their support. So what's next with the relationship with large businesses like that?
Well, we We did a petition for Playmobil, which they responded to. We also did a petition for Lego, which they haven't responded to personally. But we were thrilled to see at the Nuremberg Toy Fair a Lego wheelchair was revealed. And it caused a huge media storm, really. And people attributed Toy Like Me with the Lego, which it just showed Lego that what they could be doing, I think. But we want to be working with all of the major toy brands in toy representation. We were at the London Toy Fair a couple of weeks ago, and we were thrilled to see Orchard Toys had brought out a wonderful jigsaw with a wheelchair user, a bright pink wheelchair with a girl inside. Yes. So it's representation in all different toys and different medias we're interested in.
Right, yes, indeed. And media's really been important for you so far with coverage. BBC, CNN, Al Jazeera, numerous print and online outlets as well. Now, that's in part because you have some media expertise within Toy Like Me as well.
Yes, I mean, Rebecca is obviously used to work for the BBC and
yes.
as a journalist and as a generally wonderful person. And I used to work for a children's TV company, Ragdoll.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking at the Children's Media Conference in Sheffield. So
yes.
I'm really excited about that, to take it into another level. To talk about media in all its forms.
So that's brilliant. So listeners to this programme, many of whom will know the Children's Media Conference here in Sheffield, a fantastic, well-established event. So they'll be able to come and meet you and hear you speak at that event this year.
Yeah, great.
Excellent. Superb. So Toy Like Me, it doesn't have any funding. This crowdfunding campaign has really obviously hit a nerve and a need. People are so excited about what you're doing. But you've been running Toy Like Me voluntarily.
We have, yes. We're mums on a mission at the moment.
Yes.
From our kitchen table. Yes, we have run it on our own because we believe in it. We were delighted that the crowdfund came in like it did. But we are looking for other funders, sponsorship and grant funding to be able to really take this to the next level, to make it really count for the children. So, yes, we'll be looking at writing a lot of letters, setting up an appropriate sort of company structure for us.
Yes, indeed. And I understand that you've been on the School for Social Entrepreneurs course, is that correct?
Well, I hope to go on.
You hope
yes,
to go
on. I went to a taster session,
yeah.
And it seemed a perfect fit, really.
Yeah.
So, yes, being a social entrepreneur is, I think, I never heard of that term before. It sounds fantastic.
Yes,
and
indeed.
The support and mentoring that goes along with that, I think it'd be great, because at the moment it really is mums on a mission.
And funnily enough, we had an interviewee on this programme last week, Mo Ali, who's an alumni of School for Social Entrepreneurs and taught very highly of the support given to people by them. So it's come up on this programme as well before that School for Social Entrepreneurs, I'm not actually doing their advertising for them, but just we've heard very, very good things about them. Now, other sources of advice have you and others involved, as you say, mums on a mission. Have you been pulling in favours, people?
Oh,
yeah. Where else have you and Rebecca secured support and assistance from?
Well, I think nobody's safe at the moment.
Yes.
Anybody that knows us or knows of our work, we've been pulling on left, right and centre. You know, because there's only so much you can do yourself. And we've been thrilled with the sort of voluntary contributions of time, effort and support of all of our friends and family, and continue to do so, without which it wouldn't happen.
No, quite. It wouldn't and couldn't. So the crowdfunding campaign successfully hit its target. Now, does it just stop now, or does the crowdfunding continue and have a goal, a stretch goal, as it's sometimes called?
We had a small stretch goal,
yeah,
just to help us out, which we almost achieved, which was fantastic. The crowdfund just enables us to start the next level, really.
Yeah, this is...
It gives us a space. It gives us an online resource. And it also gives us a bunch of people that were really, really supportive of us. And so we want to take that energy and that Toilet Like Me love and really, really take it to the next level.
Absolutely. Superb. Well, congratulations on hitting the target there, but also congratulations on putting this issue in front of so many people across the world, from individuals and families and small businesses who are supporting you, through to actually bringing this to the attention of massive global toy companies, and in the case of Playmobil, getting their support and backing as well. So fantastic achievements already, and I'm sure this is, as you say, only the start of what you're doing in terms of demonstrating the need for and celebrating disability and representation in toys. So, Karen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jamie.
Superb. Well, Karen Newell of Toy Like Me joining us there on the line. And if you want to find out more about Toy Like Me, then at the moment you can find them on Facebook, Toy Like Me, and on Twitter at Toy Like Me as well. And of course, the website coming soon. So you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. And on the programme today, you've just heard from Karen Newell, Toy Like Me. We've also heard earlier from Hendrika Stevens of the Sheffield Antiques Quarter. And if you've just tuned in and you've missed that, don't panic, because you can find the podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website at about 11 a.m. And you'll be able to find it, go to shows, find Business Live, and look up the show from the 19th of February. Now, this programme, of course, will be back next week from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. next Friday. But in the meantime, next Thursday, I'll be at the Rotherham Hospice Business Breakfast, which is hosted by Outer Kumpo Stainless Distribution, who are providing a venue. Now, a frequent guest on this programme has been Jay Bayani, who's been on the show a number of times to give businesses and social enterprises tips about employment law. And legislation is changing all the time, and that affects both small businesses and large businesses. And so if you need to find out how the law is changing and how it will affect your business or your social enterprise, then come along next Thursday. It's free to attend at Auto Kumpo. All you need to do is register for a place, and you can find more details by Googling Business Breakfast Tour, a Global Leader in Steel, and you'll find it on Eventbrite. And the event is next Thursday, the 25th. Now, please do remember, you can always get in touch with this programme if you have something you want to discuss, if you want to make a recommendation for someone we should interview, a topic you want us to cover, or if you think we should interview you. Just get in touch, send an email to Jamie at sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, find us on Twitter at Sheffield Live, find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch, as well. Because whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, you're an employer, you're self-employed, you work in a business or social enterprise, you have a view, we're keen to hear from you. Now, next up on the programme today is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, so stay tuned for that. That's on from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. And again, I'm sure you'll enjoy today's music. And we'll be back next week. We're going to play out now with a track of music, which is Paul Weller, and it's The Changing Man.
We're open for Business Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insights and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.